Tonight, my message is the flesh versus the spirit. It's a battle. When you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But you're still in the flesh. And the flesh wants to do its thing. And the flesh is what seems to get us in trouble. The spirit wants to do the positive things. The old flesh wants to do the things, the negative things, the worldly things. And you get into the Word of God. In the book of John chapter 15, it talks about this. Start with verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world was loves its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." This is what Jesus says. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you when you're standing for what's right. When you're living what the Bible says is right, they will persecute you. And one verse in the Bible, if anybody knows one verse, what's that one verse in the Bible most people know?
John 3:16.
There you go. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Well, I want to get into a little more than just that one verse in John chapter 3. I'm going to start out at the beginning of John chapter 3, and I'll give you a little history about this chapter. Back in Jesus' time, the religious leaders were called Pharisees and scribes. And a lot of these Pharisees and scribes, the religious leaders, they dress in these big fancy robes and they walk around the town looking like they were more religious than anybody else, like they were better than anybody else. A lot of them were hypocrites. And they didn't like Jesus because He told them what they really were. He called some of them vipers. And this one Pharisee named Nicodemus, he's seen all these miracles that Jesus was doing. And he knew that God had to be with Jesus. And he came to Jesus by night. You know why? Because he didn't want all the other Pharisees seeing him talking to Jesus. They didn't want anybody talking to Jesus. So here's the setting of that, okay? It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee." And when it says verily, verily in the Bible, that means listen, listen, this is very important. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." So, here's here's what Jesus says. You know, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water. We're born in a fleshly body of water. But until we ask Jesus Christ into our heart to be our Lord and our Savior, we're not born spiritually. We're in the flesh. And then we go on to John chapter 6, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then the verses after that, we usually don't hear these, 17 and 18. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world may be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the whole only begotten Son of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's new. You're a new person in Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, we're going to hit a lot of Bible verses. You know, I could come up here and preach a bunch of fluff, but I'm not going to do that. The Bible says the Word does not return void. I can tell all sorts of stories, but that's not where it's at. It says the Word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword. And I would paraphrase that today: the Word of God is more powerful than any nuclear warhead. Anything man can make, the Word of God is more powerful. And that's why I'm preaching the Word. And we're going to hit a lot of Bible verses tonight. In Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know what condemnation means? I looked it up in a dictionary. It says, judgment against you. There shall be no more judgment against you. The ones that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Jesus Christ, that makes me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the unsaved person, is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So when they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, but you are of the Spirit. He's talking about Christians now. You are not of the flesh, but you are of the Spirit. If so, be that Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit lives. And that's the life which is in the Spirit of God. And it goes on in chapter 7, verse 18 and 20, it says, for you know that in me, that is in the flesh, this is Paul talking. He says, you know that in me, that is in the flesh, my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The will to do good is present in me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find it not. It's hard to do what's good. For the good that I would, that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, I do, because of the flesh in me. And he goes on and says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? But he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's the one that delivers us from this fleshly body. Like Paul says, it's a battle. The things I want to do in the spirit, the flesh keeps beating me up saying, yes, do these other things, the fleshly things. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, this fleshly body that I'm still in, I want to serve the Lord, but the flesh keeps coming. Some people say, let your conscience be your guide. And I looked up, what is conscience? I looked that up in the dictionary, and it says, the conscience is a faculty of recognizing the distinction between right and wrong. It's something we have that tells us the difference between right and wrong. But the problem with the conscience, some people's conscience is a little different than others. Don't you agree? Huh? You ask somebody what difference of right and wrong is, what is good, what is bad, you're going to have a zillion different answers. If a person finds a wallet and finds $300 in this wallet, one person will say, I better find out whose wallet this is and give it back to him. Another person finds that wallet and he says, $300, finder keepers, losers weepers, right? So you can't go by your conscience. What do we have as absolutes, right and wrong? Do we go by what man says, what's right and wrong? No, because like I said, you'd have a zillion different answers, different opinions. What is it? Absolutes? It's the Word of God. Amen. That's the only absolute we have to go by. And it seems like our country today is throwing the Bible right out. We're making our own rules as we go, what's right and wrong. And when you stand up for what the Word of God says today, you're bigoted, you're a hypocrite, you're evil, you're biased, you're prejudiced, you're all these things. When you stand for the Word of God, and Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. So the absolute is the Holy Bible. And that's why I say, that's why I'm getting to the Bible, reading scriptures, not just talk. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, to him that knows what's good and does it not, to him that is sin. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the last days, people will depart from the faith. They'll depart from the Word of God. And it says, and they will have their conscience seared with a hot iron. What's that mean? You're going to have your conscience seared. That means your conscience is dead. It's not right anymore. People will have their conscience seared. It's worthless. It may be evil. I see today it looks like we have a lot of people with their conscience seared. See all the drive-by shootings, all the killings, people going on a rampage, their conscience is seared. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the last days and how people will be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it starts out with this. Know this also, in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous means dangerous times will come. And you think about, it talks about the last days, and you see if this sounds like the world today. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, people can know everybody on their favorite football team, how many yards they ran, how many, whatever. but they won't even know one Bible verse. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and such turn away from the faith, from the word. And verse 7 says, they're ever learning, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning about everything but the word of God, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it says down in verse 12, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving people and being deceived. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap themselves teachers having itchy ears. That means they're going to throw the Bible away, what the true word of God is, and they'll twist it around. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn to fables, fiction, instead of the true word of God. I was turning the channels just the other day, and it talked, having this far-fetched show talking about ancient aliens, how they taught us all we know and this and that, and how they changed our DNA and all this. Give me a break. Get into the word of God. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what it's about. Know the truth. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, some wisdom from the word of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary, they're enemies to one another, that you cannot do the things that you would. And it goes on down in verse 22. This is a result of having the Holy Spirit living within your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. And down in verse 25 it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And you do reap what you sow. In chapter 6, verse 7, it says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what soweth and reapeth? When a farmer sows out the corn, what's he reap? Corn. When you sow out hate, anger, what do you reap? The same thing. You reap what you sow. God said, I am not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap to the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Amen. That's from the Word of God. Now we'll move on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says as a Christian here, that you put off concerning the former things, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed, made new in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God and His righteousness, true holiness. Therefore, put away lying, speaking every man with truth. Be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go up on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may give to them that are in need. God wants you not to steal. He wants a man to work with his hands, earn his living honestly, so he can give to somebody that's truly in need. I knew a kid that didn't want to work, and he said he was a Christian. I got on him. The Bible says, in there it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you visited me." I told him, as a Christian, can you clothe anybody that's naked when you're not working? Can you feed anybody with food when you're not working, you don't have any money? It takes money to clothe somebody. It takes money to feed somebody. It takes money to visit somebody in jail. You had to have a car almost and pay for your gas to get there. So God's saying, you need to work. The Bible also says, if you don't work, neither should you eat. In this country today, how many skinny people would we have if everybody had to work for what they did and to earn their living and to eat? If you don't work, neither should you eat. That's God's word. That's not what I'm saying. And it also says here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use to edify, to build up. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. In chapter 5 in Ephesians, be there followers of God, dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has first loved us and has given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as believers, neither filthiness or foolish talk, nor jest, which are not suitable for a Christian. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an adulterer shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not even partakers with them, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And it says, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 6, it says, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Christ says we're not to be eye pleasers, put on a big show that we're so holy. But he says, be as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There's a difference putting on a big show. There's doing good things to put on the big show. Another thing, doing things from the heart because you care. You help somebody out of love. It's like some of these television preachers, they'll say, send in your seed of faith so you can be blessed. Send in your money so you can be healed. Send all this stuff in. And people send in their money. Are they sending money in because this guy's preaching the word of God out of love? No, they're sending in money. Give so I can get. Some people give for the wrong reasons. You need to give out of love. When I see a preacher preaching the true word of God, telling people to get saved, get right with Jesus, that's a man I'm going to send my money in because I want people to get saved. Am I going to send money into a guy who says, send in your seed of faith so you can be blessed, so you can get healed, so you'll get a new job? That's not given from the heart. The Lord says give from the heart, out of love. There's a big difference. Remember that. And in verse 10, there's some words of wisdom here too. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to do to stand. Put on the full armor of God, which is the Word of God. Be prayed up. Memorize the Word of God. The Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee. Like I say, the most powerful thing we can have is the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, this is Apostle Paul talking. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. He says, forget the things of the past. All of us have things in the past we want to forget. The old load of sin, the past life. Like I said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Forget the old man. Forget the past. Move on. Because you know what Satan can do in your life? He'll keep bringing up the past. Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? He tries to beat us up one way to the other. And he'll try to make us feel like we're nothing. We're a low life. We can't be used by God. But he says, forgetting the past and move forth the things that are before, I press towards the mark, towards the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. We need to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Moving on, looking forward, run the race that's before us. Lay aside all the sin that holds us back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're all running the race of life. If you have sin in your life, it's like having that ball and chain wrapped around your leg. And you all start, at the gun goes off, you're all running. And when you have that ball and chain around your leg, how fast are you going to keep up with the rest of the people? You're going to be lagging way behind. And after you try running a while with that ball and chain, it hurts. Sin hurts. Get rid of that sin. That's what keeps us back from running the race, looking to Jesus. That's the final goal. When we die, we're in heaven with Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again I say rejoice. And in verse 7 it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. We can have that peace that passes all understanding. Even in here, you can have peace when you have Christ. And I also, one thing I want to tell you, when you're in here, what a time to grow in the Lord. You aren't hindered by a lot of other things. Get in the Word of God. Be like a sponge that soaks it up. And when you're so filled, like a sponge. After a sponge is saturated so much, what happens? Stuff starts oozing out of it, right? And in this world, we get squeezed as a sponge. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, happiness, meekness, gentleness, that self-control. When you're squeezed by the pressures of the world, that's what should come out. And when we get so squeezed that the sponge is starting to dry up, what do? Get saturated back into the Word of God. Always be saturated in the Word of God. And the Lord will use you. But it's your choice. You want to be used by Christ? Or you want to be used by the devil? That's your choice. When you're one of Satan's tools, you may think you got the world by the tail for a while, but you will reap what you sow. And Satan is sly. He knows every temptation in your life. He knows every weak spot, and he's going to stick it right in front of you like you would a pork chop in front of a dog. And you may grab for the bait if you don't have the full armor of God on to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Be strong. And in verse 11 it says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. And Apostle Paul, he'd been in prison. He'd been beaten. He'd been all this. But he said, I have learned whatever state I am, I will be content in Christ. And he also says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in verse 19 he says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says he'll supply all our needs, remember that. Not all our wants. Because, you know, sometimes we think what we need and what we want, but God knows better. He may not give us everything we want. If we had a lot of money and a fancy house, a real nice car, a fancy boat on the lake, sometimes when we have all that, the Bible gets dusty on the shelf because we get too worldly. So sometimes a blessing in disguise is not being rich or famous. You look at all the Hollywood people. How happy are those people, really? How many divorces have they had? How many boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever have they had? How many of them filed bankruptcies? How many of them committed suicide? How many of them are just druggies anymore? How much happiness do they really have? They're searching for happiness in all the wrong places. Do you want to grow as a Christian? Are you a babe in Christ? You really haven't grown much? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this, as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk, a Christian needs to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's how you, and it says, that you may grow thereby. Desire the true milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That's how a Christian grows. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we grow. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says this, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth. But remember this, what he said. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, it isn't just a one-shot deal. See, we're going to give an altar call here tonight, and those that the Holy Spirit's tugging, and you want to come up to get right with Jesus? It isn't a thing that you do right here and it's all over and you're on your way to heaven by saying a couple words. It's something from the heart. And it's something you continue in right here. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. And you shall know the truth. and the truth shall make you free. It's not just a fancy word. It's a change of heart, a change of attitude, sincerity. Not just a bunch of mumble jumble. I see some of these television preachers say, well, say this quick little prayer, 15-minute little prayer, and you're on your way to heaven. Some of these preachers are sending people to hell with a positive attitude. They think they're right. They said a prayer. But they're living like the devil. They're living in the flesh. They never truly made a commitment to Christ. It's a fantasy. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, it says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God." So the person that isn't saved, some of this preaching is just foolishness to them. And it goes on in chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God," when you're a Christian, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things." But listen to this. "But the natural man," the fleshly man, "receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually dead." Spiritually dead. The world wants to say this Bible is just a bunch of mumble jumble. It doesn't mean nothing. But this Word of God is God's Word. He made us. This is His book. This is our owner's manual. When somebody builds a car, and you buy this car, it comes with an owner's manual, so you know how to take care of it. God made us. This is His owner's manual to us. And He makes rules not because He hates us. It's because He loves us we have these rules. If you have children, you have rules for them, right? Not because you hate them. It's because you love them. Johnny, don't play in the street. You tell them that, what, because you hate them? No, because you love them. You don't want them to get hurt. Johnny, don't touch that hot stove. It's a rule, not because you hate them, because you don't want them to get hurt. God has rules because He loves us. It's the best way. It's the best way to live. And those that say the Bible's not real, people that say there is no God, you know what the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10? It says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Someday. Amen. And they'll say it in a good way or a bad way. Either they're on their way to heaven or they're on their way to hell. But they will say, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to end now with some scriptures. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says this, "God commendeth His love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16-18, we talked about them earlier. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world may be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Condemned already. And I've been coming to this jail for over 22 years. And I hear a lot of stories from a lot of different men. And a lot of them tell me, "Gary, the best thing that ever happened to me was here in the Cass County Jail. I got saved here in the Cass County Jail." If it wasn't for coming here, I might be dead out on the street. And this reminds me of a couple verses. It's Psalm 119, verse 67. It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept your word." And in verse 71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted or punished, that I might learn your ways." Learn your ways. A lot of men came to Christ right here. It's the best thing that ever happened to them. And I tell this story. If you ever been here, hear me preach. I always end with this message. And this talks about the flesh and the spirit. Exactly the topic of this message. It fits in perfect. It's about the two cats. If you've been here, you've heard it. It has a lot of wisdom in it. It's a story about a missionary. Back in the olden days, the cowboy Indian days. And this missionary had a burden for the Indian people. He cared about them. So he went around from Indian village to Indian village telling the people about Jesus. And one night, an Indian chief came to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Awesome. Well, a few days later, the missionary leaves and he goes to other villages. And he comes back about 3 months later. And he sees the old Indian chief sitting by the fire. So he goes over and sits beside him. And he asks him, "How is it being a Christian now?" And the Indian chief says, "It's great. The load of sin I always carried, it's gone. It's gone. And I have that peace that I never had before." The Bible says we can have peace that passes all understanding. He says, "It's great." He says, "I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know where I stand with the Lord, the Creator." But he says, "There's two cats inside of me, and they fight. They're fighting from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed." And the missionary says, "What do you mean there's two cats inside of me? I've never heard of this. What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, the one cat represents the flesh. The old things, the old man, the things that always got me in trouble. But then there's another cat inside of me, the Holy Spirit. And when I start to do the bad things, the Holy Spirit says no. Says, do these things. Do the right things." And he says, "They're always fighting from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed." And the missionary says, "Well, which cat usually wins?" And here's the wisdom. The Indian chief says, "The one I feed the most wins." So, in your life, if you're living by the flesh, not getting into the Word of God, hanging around the old friends when you get out of here, you're feeding the flesh. And that's what's going to control your life. But if you're a Christian here tonight, you also have the Holy Spirit. You need to feed it. Make it strong. A friend of mine's a bodybuilder, professional. He's been on covers of a lot of magazines. And to do what he does, he has to feed the flesh big time. He's pumping iron all the time. Sometimes he's getting up in the middle of the night, eating every 2 hours, eating protein, eating the stuff. He's feeding the flesh. And we as Christians have to have the same discipline to feed the Spirit. Getting in the Word of God, praying to the Lord, memorizing the Word of God, like I said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you, Lord." Pump up. The more you pray, the closer you get to God. The more you're in the Word of God, the stronger the Spirit comes. And when that flesh wants to control, you slam dunk the flesh and let the Spirit rule your life. Be that new man in Christ. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, guess how many cats you have in your life? You have one. The one that controls your life. It's the flesh. It's the one that's going to have power and victory in your life. The flesh. That's why you need to get saved. You need to get right with Jesus tonight. If the Lord's tugging, come up. Revelations 3:20 says this. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight? He'll come in. I've given a lot of altar calls here. I've seen a lot of men and women come to Christ. I had one guy come up and he says, "You know, it was rough coming up. I had to swallow my pride." Pride is sin. It'll keep you from heaven. And he says, "I started to get up and the guy next to me grabbed me. He said, 'Sit down.' But he said, 'I come up anyways.'" Satan had his last tug. Where do you stand? And here's something to think about. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, this is what Jesus says. "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." You can't be a secret Christian. He died publicly in front of everybody laughing at him. We need to stand and live for him. No greater love. Even on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know God's will and goal in your life? God's will and goal in your life is not to always make you happy, not always to make you healthy, and not always to make you wealthy. God's will and goal for your life is to make you more like Him. To make you more like Him. Amen. You may have tried everything known to man to find happiness. True happiness only comes through Christ. Jesus fills the void that we try to fill with earthly things. He's the answer for the cancer of sin. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you tired? Are you tired of searching for happiness in all the wrong places? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight. I'm going to give an altar call now. We're going to play a song. If the Lord's tugging, come forward. I'll give you this little booklet. Knowing God personally. We'll say the sinner's prayer together. And we're not trying to put words in your mouth. Jesus knows your heart. He looks upon the heart. If the Lord's tugging, come forward. Now's the time to get right. Praise God. Stay right up here, okay? There's room at the cross for you.